Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Moe. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Moe, and I'm eating a Dairy Queen dilly bar.
Yo yo, what's the dilly yo? Who eats on a podcast?
Well, it'll be happening a lot coming up because we figure we're going to record a lot of shows when we're at WrestleMania.
That's true.
Because people are
clamoring.
Well, that's the thing, right? During WrestleMania season, they're going to want to be entertained.
Right.
And if we don't do it, Lord knows the WWE won't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can call me Addy.
Oh.
You don't have to refer to me as the Lord.
That was a door slamming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
That was great.
Yeah.
No, who slams a door on a podcast?
Hopefully nobody I get in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
There's a WrestleMania coming up.
Is there?
There is this Wrestling Mania coming up.
This Wrestling Mania.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know, I could take that book
and
get it autographed.
You could, if we do what we're thinking about doing.
We may spend an evening and a drink with Vince Russo.
That's right. Vince Russo having a meet and greet, dinner meet and greet.
And well, a meet.
Yeah, good point.
I don't think I'll really greet.
And you sent it to me and you're like, send me a text.
Yes.
Because we were talking about what we're going to do that night or whatever. And you're like, oh, guess who we can go see and listen to. And I was like, well, I was just thinking, because we're staying at the Marriott.
Woo!
So that was my response.
Yes.
Woo! I thought we'd pay somebody's bar tab.
Yes.
And then you said, if I can be honest with you.
Yes.
Was what your text said. And I thought, oh, shit. And my response back was, well, if we buy tickets for that, then we're supporting a complete scumbag named Vince.
Yes.
And your response was, we already are.
We are already doing that.
And I couldn't deny that you're right.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Speaking of not being able to deny something, a little bit off track here, but last week I watched Raw with the producer.
Mm-hmm.
At about, when it was over, so it was I PVR'd it, and so I was watching it mostly on fast forward.
I noticed that. I'm just going to say, I watched the Raw for the first time this week.
Yeah.
In like 6 months. I think it was like October, I don't know, something like that. September. I don't know when I gave up. A few months, though. Which is why I probably didn't hate the show as much as other people, because I haven't been
beaten down.
Beaten down. But I started it 45 minutes in on my PBR.
Right.
And I sent you a text, and you're like, yeah, I probably started in about a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Paul Heyman speech, you sent me a text saying, Paul Heyman is great. 15 minutes before I was to Paul Heyman.
Yes.
Which is like, I'm actually kind of watching it, fast forwarding a little bit, but you obviously don't bother with any of it.
Oh, I don't need any of the shit. Ryback and Eric Rowan against Kane and The Big Show. There's a 15-minute skip button on my remote, and I use it.
The 15-minute skip button?
Yes. I'm like, fuck you, I don't need the rest of this quarter hour.
No.
But yet, last week, I watched it with the producer, mostly on fast forward, and of course, I stopped to watch the fantastic Paul Heyman promo last week, when the mic cut out and he did the whole thing.
And, unlike this week, where the mic cut out.
Yes. And the producer says to me, she says, you know, I don't think you love wrestling. I think you love Paul Heyman. And I paused. And in 2015, she's not wrong.
I was thinking this. Like, there's all this talk, is Lesnar staying, is Lesnar going?
Yeah.
Honest to God, right now, I think Paul Heyman is more valuable to them than Lesnar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if Lesnar goes and Paul Heyman is still there and you give him to the right guy to him.
Well, that's the problem, right? I mean, I know where you're going with this, but the reality is that when you're talking about the right guy and blah, 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 I mean, the reason that Heyman has not been, I mean, A, they don't script every second of his day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps huge.
Yeah.
The other thing is that because he's there for Brock Lesnar, I mean, the last time it was good was when he was there with Punk, right? Yes. And he was good and sillier for Punk, but they also had control.
Mm-hmm.
Look at when they gave him, like, Cesaro.
Yes.
And Ryback.
Yes.
Death.
I agree.
Death. Because that's when they took over.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it works, it probably would only work, I would argue, with Brock Lesnar, is because Lesnar's only going to be there 20 times a year at best.
It could work with somebody else. It could work with somebody else, but you're right, they can't.
No, it can't work.
They can't take over.
It can work. They can't make it work.
I agree.
The WWF cannot make this work. The WWF probably could. WWE can't.
When Paul Heyman was finished his promo, and I thought it was like, I'm not sure it's not the best promo I ever heard.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I was like, that's it. I want to see WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I finally want to see WrestleMania. He did that all by himself.
Yes. 3 weeks before the show starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Way to push it when it's hot. I mean, the reality is it doesn't matter anymore because WrestleMania is free. Right?
Is it?
Well, it's fucking $9.99 on the network that we get anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the fucking show is free.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there's not... I mean, when you're talking about selling buys, maybe you're...
Well, not to us. We're spending a shitload of money.
That's true.
Because we're going there.
Yes.
So to us, it matters much more. Like, I saw somebody arguing. They're like, oh, don't bother doing the change on, at WrestleMania, whatever title change you're going to do with that title. Do it the next night on Raw, because it's $9.99, so people won't be that pissed off. I'm like, yeah, but what about the 70,000 people that spent a lot of money to be there?
Yeah.
Those people you're going to piss off, and that's not a good thing. So you have to have a big angle for that Raw, don't get me wrong.
Well.
But that's not the only, and they're probably going to be a couple. There's a couple every year.
Well,
but you can't those people.
I think the people that will be most pissed off, though, mm-hmm. like us,
mm-hmm.
are going the next night on Raw anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think you're honestly, it really is 6-1.
So they're not going to fit 70,000 in that stadium.
No, but 70,000 people are not, travel packaged hardcore fans, right? I would argue maybe 20,000 of them are. Maybe 30.
You think 50,000... 40,000 of those people are going to be from the San Francisco area?
I'm expecting there to be 50,000 total. So I'm expecting 20 to 25,000 to be hardcore. The other, I bet you get about 5,000 that, because it's in the local Sacramento, San Francisco, in their local area, Oakland, let's say, they will go. And I think the rest, the other 20,000, like filling a Raw on a regular, would be local.
Mm.
San Jose, I could totally see that breakdown. 25 travel, 5 from the outside Northern California area, and another 20,000 that are there. And then you'll say that you had 69,132.
You know, that's not a bad argument. I think that you might be right there, yeah.
Like, that's because, I mean, tickets are still available.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is the... But if you want the best seats, it's mo@wetalkpodcast.com. Email him. He has the best seats for sale.
I do have the best seats for sale. I have three seats in the...
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
You won't even be sitting with them.
No, you don't have to sit with me. That's your privilege.
That's true. That's true. A damn hard camera.
We're going to put her to a test. But anyways, Vince Russo is having this thing, and the idea is perhaps we go just to sit in the back, get drunk, and make comments.
Yes, it's at a bar. It's called An Evening and a Drink with Vince Russo. Mm-hmm. And so while it will be one evening, it will be many drinks.
Yes, yes.
And then there's a Q&A. There's actually, like, you could buy, we could buy VIP and get, like, a private greeting, a private meeting with Vince.
The whole point of this thing is to be able to publicly, you ask a question as Vince Russo to Vince Russo, and me publicly to tell him I hate him.
I would like to know who you feel in 2015 is going to be a star.
Yes, if you could be honest with me.
I would like you to be honest with me.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And ask him if it's going to be a Latino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I would actually, we got 2 weeks. If we get these tickets, I will learn how to ask the question in Spanish.
As Vince Russo in Spanish.
Yes.
That would be the greatest thing.
All I need to know is say, how do you say, can I be honest with you in Spanish?
In Spanish. That would be the greatest thing ever. Yeah. So I mean, I'm conflicted because I don't want to support the guy at all. But I do want to tell him to his face how much I dislike him.
Yes.
So this is the opportunity to do
pay
that.
Pay for that privilege.
Pay for that privilege.
yes.
And I'm sure like half the people there will probably have the same thing.
Yes, but, that's true.
Yeah. What a douchebag. Anyways.
But so, that was, I mean, if we're talking about Raw, just and we can end on it because we're going to talk about the Mania build here. But
yeah,
with Raw, I can't say that I hated Raw, like you said, as much as other people.
Yeah.
Because, like, while part of it did suck a cock, mm-hmm. a large part of it.
Mm-hmm. As Jim Cornette says.
There was a half hour period.
Yes.
Like, a half hour straight.
Pretty much.
Where it was the best Raw I have seen in years.
Yeah.
Because you had Heyman's promo.
Yeah.
That followed the Connor the Crusher.
Yeah. And the video package for Reigns was good too, actually.
Well, yeah, that's part of that. Yeah. I think it was probably about a 5 minute Connor the Crusher, 5 minute yeah. Roman Reigns, 20 minute Heyman.
The Connor Connor the Crusher, what is his last name?
Mahalik.
Yeah, like that was great. Like I'm watching that and I'm like, that's the best part of the WWE.
Yes.
Like that's embodies the spirit and that exists. And don't get me wrong, I mean I say whatever you can about the company, flawed people there.
Yes.
But like that is the part of the WWE that is there's a genuine thing there and like and his father was there, and his brother was there.
Well, they're from Pittsburgh.
The crowd,
Connor, yeah.
Yeah, and you literally, when they cut back to the crowd, you literally saw a grown man crying, like yeah. wiping tears from their eyes. And that was tremendous. So you're right, you had the Heyman thing.
That's the most over the Ascension has ever been.
Oh,
Connor. What? I thought they were cheering for Connor O'Brien.
Seriously,
Connor and Victor. They're a wonderful tag team.
Yeah.
But his brother, yeah, like you said, they're in San Francisco, so his brother, or in rather in Pittsburgh. So, but I mean, Ultimate Warrior. It's so funny because they kept showing clips of the Warrior.
Yes,
I should say this was funny, but. They were showing clips of the Warrior, and like I guess the humorous part to me of it.
We'll talk about him later.
It's very touching and
humorous.
And, yes, yeah, we'll talk about him too. But what is that funny? But I mean, because it's very touching and very you know great, and they're calling it the Warrior Award because he did say in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
he wants to have the Warrior Award, right?
Yeah.
For a totally different reason.
Yes, that's I know.
And they even like sliced it in with like something about unsung heroes or, yeah. or you know, I think that would be great or whatever. And I think he was talking about Jimmy Miranda,
yeah.
the old, I think he was a merchandise guy.
Yeah, and he's totally right. There's a lot of people
yeah.
who for many years have toiled in that company and behind the scenes and helped make my experience better and your experience better and like just help the entertainment level is higher because of these people we've never seen.
Yeah.
And they should get acknowledgement. And he's totally right for that.
Yeah. And you
know, not that this award is, not that that, they could put those people in without calling it the Warrior Award. They could just put those people in without.
But it's a nice reason to. My only.
No, it's not. Because that makes it about him. This is, I think, very much, I don't think he would in any way disagree with this being the Spirier of the Warrior Award. I think it's good to call the Warrior Award for someone like Connor and put those people in a category. You have a Builders category already. Just put them in something similar to that.
They have a Builders category?
Yeah, well, basically they do. Yeah, Builders category where it's like, you know, promoters and shit like that, right?
Mm.
And so something along those lines. So those people, and especially there's a physical Hall of Fame, but even without it, those people, I agree, definitely deserve it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I have no problem with this.
Well, no, of course.
This is, when you think of Warrior, you don't think of, let's call this and honor somebody who sold t-shirts. The Warrior Award. No. Let's honor some kid who fought valiantly against cancer and showed a fighting spirit. You know, that's a Warrior Award.
The Warrior Award is a make-a-wish kid that the Warrior wouldn't visit. Yes. That's the Warrior Award.
Well, there is something to that.
But, yeah.
You know,
the guy who wouldn't go visit make-a-wish children. Yeah. And so
at least when he was champion. I don't know what he was like later in his later years, but when he was there and he was 30 and he was rich and he was full of himself, yeah, I mean he did blow off make a wish kids and stuff like that. He
constantly.
Was not with John Cena. Yeah, he was not I mean we already got into him, we talked about him.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you got this new DVD coming out here with people just, you know, praising how great a man he is, and I'm like, no, he wasn't.
No.
But
you know what, though?
You know,
but they already did
that
DVD. Doesn't
mean, and also, I mean, like I say, I mean, he's not, I mean, he's like anybody else, a flawed human being with good and bad. I don't think he would have any problem with this, and I don't know that, yeah.
Oh, I don't think now he would. No, I don't think now he would. I just thought the irony there of a guy who wouldn't visit Make-A-Wish Kids having a sick kid named it.
And this year is a sick kid, and I don't know that it will be next year.
No, you know who it's going to be next year?
What?
I guarantee you who it's going to be next year.
Who's that?
Kevin Dunn.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
And, again.
So you go from a kid with cancer to a guy with enlarged teeth.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Hypermolaritis, I believe he has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, next year, I mean, I don't know that they will actually give it out next year.
I think they will.
I could see it. No, I mean, I think it's whenever there's the right case. And in this case, there's the right case.
I think, no.
But
I
it was
think,
great. You're right.
I disagree.
That,
yeah. I think this is now will now become a big part of their marketing.
Well, I hope
they do
it
as if they do it as if they keep it with Connor and they do it as like charity stuff. Like I you know, Kevin.
Well, actually, if it makes kids happy, I got no problem with that.
Well, no, but I mean, so do you do is the winner Susan G. Komen next year?
Yeah.
Right. Like, do they do it as a charity thing so that Stephanie McMahon can be out there with her as CEO or brand ambassador or whatever the fuck she is, saying, you know, this is what we do. Right?
Yeah,
we put smiles on people's faces.
We put smiles on people's faces. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's possible.
But again, that doesn't for any way discount the nice thing of Connor. I think I even mentioned that Connor should go in as the celebrity months ago.
Yeah, I think you might have.
I think, you know, and so I'm glad that...
instead of somebody else with an alarmed heart.
Yes.
Arnold.
I can't believe you told jokes about that. It's Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com.
If you want those tickets.
Yeah. If you want those tickets.
Yeah.
And more jokes about children with cancer.
I didn't say anything about children with cancer. I said enlarged heart.
Yeah, enlarged heart. Oh, sorry. Children with enlarged hearts.
No. I'm talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hmm? Steroid user.
Ah. You saying Connor was a steroid
user? No! Fuck! God damn it.
They're probably prescription to help battle the
infection. Oh, no, we're moving on. Please move on.
Okay. So that was the best half-hour segment of Raw that I've seen stretch in ages.
Yes.
Then the Bellas come on. And they cut the worst promo I may have seen in the last 5 years. And it's all about the Flintstones.
You know, I didn't actually know that. Notice that it was a bad promo because I was too busy staring at Nikki's boulders.
It was a bad, and like it was so. And they're doing this thing, and they're trying to be cute.
Because she has big tits.
I got one thing. WWE.
You know, they're big, and I like looking at them.
Oh, yeah. Same with John Cena.
I like looking at his, too.
Yeah.
Mangitis.
Anyway, after watching this promo, I was just like, WWE, yabba dabba, fuck you. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
We have a different show title, but that would have been a good one. Yabba dabba, fuck you.
Dabba dabba, fuck you.
In fact, if somebody wants to make a shirt like that and wear that at WrestleMania and bring one to us, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Yabba dabba, fuck you.
3 or 4 XL?
5.
5. A man who demands the 5. Alright. Well, what else we got to talk about? The Intercontinental title?
Yeah. Let's get to it.
We want to talk about
let's hit all the topics besides this, because we're gonna go into each match and talk about the build.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, Hugh Morris. What?
Yeah.
Is that humorous?
What?
What?
Yeah. Bill DeMott is a dick and therefore is out of power as the trainer, and it's A-Train, who's not a dick apparently.
A-Train doesn't have a dick?
That's what I heard.
Huh. Unique.
Yeah.
Unique A-Train.
You don't have to have a dick in order to be in charge of developmental training. If you did, they would have put Charlotte in charge.
That's true. Hmm. Oh my god. Did you hear about this tryout that they did?
No.
Hulk Hogan, Triple H, and Jimmy Hart.
Hmm.
Putting each other over. They put over Hogan and Andre and the two Hunter Undertaker.
Well, they weigh almost 800 pounds, you know.
As classics.
Yeah. What was the other classic? Sorry, Hogan and Andre, and what was it?
The two Triple H Taker matches.
The first one. I think the first one was classic.
Yeah, the one they don't talk about?
No, well, actually.
Oh, the first
of the two.
The first of the most recent.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But anyway, so, yeah, I mean, Bill DeMott, anything else you want to say on that? I mean,
you know what, we said most of it last week, that I understand why he did it, and how he was acting, and that it's the business. You know, it's Alberto Del Rio can tell you, it's the business.
It is, yeah.
But as we said last week, it doesn't make it right, but I think my biggest point of all is that it was Bill fucking DeMott.
So? What?
So who gives a fuck?
Oh.
About Bill fucking DeMott. He went on Twitter. He's quit the company. I guarantee you, 8 people have noticed.
More than that, because everybody who is in developmental, 100 people, let out a collective cheer. But other than that, nobody can, and few people that are fired, because, I mean, he's not well-liked. But, I mean, don't cry for Bill DeMott. He would have gotten a golden parachute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was let go, you know, just... Lay low, brother.
Exactly.
And we'll bring you back.
Right? I don't know if they'll bring him back, but...
they might.
In a different position, possibly. But certainly he's very well compensated.
Yes.
But yeah, it is the right thing. I mean, it's the just because what has happened before doesn't make it something that should still happen. In fact,
no.
they are way behind.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that's just... I went through the fucking Richie Incognito.
Yeah.
You know, this is happening in sports
all
over. This isn't wrestling. This is a locker room mentality that's retarded.
Yeah.
And behind the times, as you said, and you know, but at least now it's with social medias and the internet and everything, it's just more out there
and
not tolerated, right?
Yeah, it'll take a while to change, but it will change.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be slow, but it'll change.
It'll change. Okay. All right. Anything else? What are we talking about?
WWE's book deal. Did you hear about this?
They're with ECW Press now.
ECW Press.
Yeah.
Right? So, Vince, of course, claiming that he's the reason they're called ECW Press.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
that's why they still chant ECW Press.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's because of Vince.
So that's going to be very interesting for
nobody.
Books.
Why?
Hmm?
Why?
I'm just looking at now, because ECW Press was the publisher of most wrestling books at this point.
That's true.
And now most wrestling books won't happen.
All of a sudden, you don't think a random house is going to pick up a book by Bill DeMott, for instance?
No. No. Because because wrestling is so cold right now.
Yes.
That nobody gives a fuck about it.
So well, it's obviously had enough of a, you know, enough of a cachet that ECW was still profitable off putting out the books.
Yes, but they knew about it, and they were in that business. And for fuck's sakes, it's called ECW Press. That's all they did was make wrestling books.
Coincidence.
Yeah. Right. That's all they did was make wrestling books. So, yeah, Random House or whatever, Penguin Public. No, no one's buying. No one's clamoring for wrestling.
I think somebody will step up, and it'll be somebody smaller like that who's going to look in and yeah, I mean, somebody will.
Yeah.
Probably not right away, but somebody will.
And no one will know about it. And
it'll be just the same as anything
else. I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to be a huge difference.
I think it's going to make a difference to non-WWE books, and that's going to hurt because WWE books suck.
There's been some good ones, but for...
Not late. When was the last good book?
There's been some good ones, but it has been...
Foley?
Foley's Hardcore Diaries, maybe in 2007
All of
or whatever.
The Foley books.
Yeah.
Where was Jericho published? Not through WWE?
Not through WWE, no.
So there you go.
Was that ECW?
It probably was, yeah. Your fucking death of WCW,
was,
right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's what I'm looking at. It's there's no, you know, the Heenan books were good, but WWF books.
I mean, I don't think they're even publishing them to the same degree anyways. It isn't a things like cookbooks now and History of WrestleMania and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
JR's barbecue sauce.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You know? But,
yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, the last autobiography. What is the last autobiography? Gold Dusts or Regals? Or
couldn't even tell. No, Regals was a long time ago.
Yeah, maybe Gold Dusts, right?
It could be, but it's also like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
you know, I'm at a loss to tell you who it is because books don't matter.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm lost to tell me who gives a fuck.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, who does really?
I don't know.
Got a rare Jimmy Hart manager card.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Yeah. I think I got one of those.
Oh, I probably used it to build somebody up.
Yeah. I mean, right now.
Yeah. I think that's it.
I think that's it. So, okay. Let's get into... You know the good thing about
boobs?
Yeah. What is that? Huh?
Boobs. They're talking about the good thing about boobs. You're not talking about the good thing about boobs?
I'm sorry you said boobs. I lost my train of thought.
Right.
But the good thing about not having to watch this on pay-per-view is we won't have to listen to
Michael Cole.
And like that's going to be the best part. We'll just do our own commentary and we won't have to worry about them.
That's true. King. That's true.
Yeah.
We'll be drinking.
Well, we'll be drinking at WrestleMania?
Okay.
It's like a 4.5-hour show. It's not going to be easy to get to there's only one women's match, right?
Yes.
But then again, there is, you know, things like Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins.
Well, there's
a lot of bathroom breaks.
There's also going to be, hopefully, people bringing, like, concessions.
And so, cups to pee in?
If we just tip the beer guy early and just say, keep him coming.
Well, I'm talking about when you have to get up and leave and you'll use the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to be fun.
Hmm. You think, like, at the CVS, we could buy, like, a catheter?
Possible.
Bring your own colostomy bag.
Possible.
Although, Levi Stadium, I got an email, has a strict no backpack policy.
Oh.
So that may include colostomy bags.
Well, if you have a medical reason.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm an alcoholic.
Who's looking forward to in 2015 listening to Jerry Lawler on commentary yet? Like, other than maybe the cat. Like, who's possibly looking forward to listening to...
Cool. I thought we... speaking of the cat.
What about her?
We can call her.
Oh, you want me to call her?
Yeah.
I was at a bar and I was talking to our Sin Brody.
Right.
And her.
Okay.
And when he left, she slept me her number.
She slipped her what?
When he went, she slipped me the tongue.
Oh.
And her number when he went to the washroom.
I see. Okay.
So I could call her if you want.
Please.
She probably, I mean, I'm assuming she gave me the number for an interview.
Yeah. Unless well, there'd be no other reason.
Boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop. She's in Florida, I think.
Ah, yes. Boop, 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 boop. Boop. Ring.
Ring. Ring.
Hello, cat. Cat, is that you? Is that, I just, it's Addy. We talk wrestling. Just, want to know what it was like to sleep with Jerry Lawler. Whoa. This is Grumpy Cat.
Oh, fuck.
Host, oh, fuck. Former host of Raw.
Yeah, well, there's still it's wrestling tie-in. Okay, I mean, fine, I don't know fine. What wrestling show
okay,
would have
here,
him,
sorry, sorry,
have
just,
him
just,
on. But,
okay. Grumpy Cat, what was it like to sleep with Jerry Lawler? Thank you. Okay, bye. Uh-oh. Get him off the line. Get him off the line. I don't like this. Cat's creeped me out.
So Grumpy Cat fucked Jerry Lawler?
That was death.
Oh, okay. So Undertaker?
When we have our evening and a drink with Vince Russo,
yeah,
when I ask my question, I'm going to say, I brought along Samoa Joe for a comment.
Oh, fuck Russo.
Fuck Russo.
Yeah, yeah. It was great watching him on ROH during the thing when he comes out. And the crowd starts chanting, fuck TNA, fuck TNA. And he gets this look on his face like,
yep.
Well, yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, that's the, you make a valid argument.
And now it's scheduled for Redwood City, I think the Supercard of Honor, and May 27th there. The
Supercard.
It's him and Jay Briscoe.
Yes.
So I'll be looking forward to watching that on video on demand.
It's not on the PPV?
I don't think it's a PPV, though. I don't think their next pay-per-view is in June.
Oh,
so,
is that okay?
So it'll be a video on demand show.
That's weird. Dude.
Yeah, but that'd be fine. It'll be fine. That'd be a good show.
That should be their pay-per-view.
I know, but he'll be gone by then.
Yeah, but if it's in June...
He'll be gone by then.
I guess.
Yeah.
So WrestleMania.
Put him with Heyman.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
That would work.
Yeah. Absolutely it would. It'd be great. You know?
That would be great.
Like, it's unbelievable how Lesnar is great and doesn't say a fucking word.
I know. I just
doesn't even change his expression.
No, his grins and his smiles. Like, when he was talking about... Last week, do you realize that Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather put together are still better than you? And he just has this grin like, yeah.
Somebody on Twitter was asking what would happen if they fought him. I'm like, they would beat him up? It's two men against one.
Yeah, like they'd hit him with like a double suplex.
Yeah, that's what they, oh, good card, good card.
That was a super rare Triple H.
Yeah. Well, good to get a super rare. The fact is, Triple H's.
Yeah.
Actually, you take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and then you have
The facts of life. The facts of life? I understand that there's also a time you got to grow and show. You grow and now you know about the facts of life.
The facts of life?
When the world never seems to believe it up to your dreams. Suddenly you're finding out the facts of life are all about you.
Do, 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 do.
You. Oh. It takes a lot to get things right. When you're learning the facts of
life. Learning the facts of life.
Learning the facts of life. The facts of life.
Standing tall. On the wings of our dreams. All right, enough.
Rise and fall.
Perfect Strangers was my favorite theme.
I understand that Balky Bartakamoose has a new name.
Yeah.
Rusev.
We'll ask him to do the Dance of Joy.
Yeah. Well, of course we would have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Actually, if he's at Fan Access, think we should do that.
What?
I loved you in Perfect Strangers. And then we look at Lana and be like, Cousin Larry.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
She's off to make a movie with Edge.
Is she doing that before WrestleMania? That just seems like the worst timing.
I know. It's,
is that, or is
it
after?
I thought it was after.
I thought it was after, too.
For some reason now, she's very concerned about America, not saying bad things about America.
No, she just didn't want Rusev. Cena was pretty fired up and didn't want to poke the bear. That's all it was.
Stupid.
Well, let's get into it. Let's go starting from the bottom of the card, working our way up.
Okay. Staying in Triple H.
Starting from the bottom of the card.
The opening match. Okay, so let's go to the Andre the Giant Memorial Bat Heel Royal.
Just one second. I think I have a list of announced participants here.
There are
available.
14
announced.
Have them. Yes.
Okay.
The Jizz.
The Jizz.
Damien Jizdow.
Damien Jizdow.
The Big Show.
The Big Slow.
Yeah. Kane. Yeah.
Shame.
Zack Ryder.
Woo woo woo.
Who knew that he was even employed? Curtis Axel. My odds on favorite thus far.
Axelmania.
The most over guy thus far. Fandango.
Well, Miz. Dow. Fandango, yep.
Yeah. Adam Rose.
Mm-hmm.
The Ryback.
The Ryback.
The Ryback Acne.
He's probably the winner.
I don't know about that.
Actually, the Sheamus will probably be there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's a shameful thing. Thunderhead will win.
Yeah.
We've got, what do you fucking call that guy? Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger, yep.
The primetime players, Derek Young, Titus O'Neil.
Yep, yep.
Who can't get into the 97-team tag team thing.
Well, there's only four teams. So that means the Ascension's likely going to be in this, too.
Sin Cara and Eric Rowan.
Sin Cara and Eric Rowan. So we'll probably see the Ascension, Mark Henry, one more person. Or no,
Sheamus.
And then two more. And then at least two more.
And then, I'm trying to... I mean, really, if you're in this, it doesn't matter. But yeah.
Where do you put this? Is this a pre-show thing or?
No, I think this is like a. I don't know what
to say. You can't open with it because it's not a good enough match to open with.
No, you I think you open with up the. That, what do you open with the ladder match?
No, that's too much to open with.
Rollins and Orton?
I can see that.
You know?
Yeah, I can see that. I don't see Cena Rusev opening.
Who's the WCW champion?
I could see them trying to open with the, the Royal Rumble winner or the World Heavyweight Champion is what usually opens.
Yeah, exactly. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I could actually see them opening with,
Rusev?
The tag team thing, actually.
Yeah, you could do the tag.
I could see that.
So this is like a four corners match?
I'm assuming, yeah, it's WrestleMania 20. Type deal where they had, you know, the four corner tag team. Like I'm assuming that's what it is. I don't think it'll be the gauntlet thing. I think it'll be one fall to finish, four teams in the corner, and then everybody has. Have the Matadors turned heel, by the way?
No, but they teamed with then they have the fucking midget. So how could you be a heel if you had a midget? You can't.
Little
it's
person.
Impossible. It's impossible to be a heel if you've got a midget.
Little person.
Hmm?
Little person. But yeah, I mean, if you have a mini like that, yeah,
if you
I
have a mini,
it was designed for kids, but I thought they were acting a little heelish on Monday.
Well, because they're fighting the Usos, right?
Yeah.
But I think that was just the whole point.
Like
of,
you say, they're tagging with, masters of the WWE universe.
Brass Ring Club.
Cesaro and Kid. So on SmackDown, but then again, who cares? Is the SmackDown, like the SmackDown. Look, the big thing on SmackDown, they're still trying to get, Roman Reigns over.
Really?
So what they do is Roman Reigns is out there cutting a promo, and Mark Henry, who has been gone for, what, like 4 months? For no reason. No explanation as to why he's gone. It's all of a sudden back. No explanation.
No.
And he walks out, and his verbiage is, you're not respected, and nobody in the... You're not respected,
yeah.
And nobody thinks you've earned it, either in the audience, the WWE Universe...
Or that locker room.
Or the locker room.
Yeah.
And so he gets in his face, gets speared and punched.
Yeah, takes a Superman punch.
Superman punch, spear, and then he in the back later says, I've faced Lesnar, because remember Lesnar, like,
yeah, Lesnar beat
the
F5
through on the floor and whatever, a couple times. Never had a match, but just beat the shit out of him.
By the steps, yeah, beat the fuck out of him on his way to that shitty match with the Big Show.
Yeah, a couple times. He beat the shit out of him. And he's like, having faced both, I think he can beat him.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Because you're in there for 20 seconds with him? Yeah. How impressive a spear and a Superman punch can it be? Because I can tell you what Lesnar did to you when he, like, F5'd you through the table or whatever he did, or on the floor. That was fucking impressive.
Now. And that, for everybody not paying attention, was professional wrestling analyst Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Expert in the field.
Yeah, yeah. But my biggest thing is, if the crowd, it doesn't respect him, don't say the crowd doesn't respect him, but especially don't say the locker room doesn't, even if you're going to say that after.
Yeah.
And just have him come out and say, I've been here a long time. You haven't beaten me.
Yeah.
You want to prove you're WrestleMania ready? Go through me to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And then have him do that. And then have him beat him. Don't highlight what his weaknesses are. Even if you...
What?
And then afterwards say, oh, he doesn't have those weaknesses. See, I was just kidding.
This is funny. I'm a funny guy. I'm just kidding around here. I'm playing around. I'm palling around here. He's just kidding.
Just kidding.
You know, where's Michael Strahan?
Yeah. Fuck off. Fucking stupid. Oh yeah, and it looks like Jon Stewart. That's dead, right?
Yeah. I've been watching.
Just,
as I
it's
said,
just an angle for Jersey.
It got me to watch The Daily Show. Yeah. So I've been watching The Daily Show. Great show.
Great show.
But on the day after Mania, he did say, "Thank you WWE for having us."
Raw,
yeah. Thank you WWE for having us. My son and I, you know, both really enjoyed ourselves. Thank you. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. So
completely useless.
Yeah. Just a shitty angle that got no publicity, and yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, this was WWE.
So we get the Battle Royal done. The Bella Twins against...
So the build to the Battle Royal. What has it been so far?
Oh, the build.
Review the build.
I was just about to skip over it there. Mm-hmm. So that's been the build.
It really is. It's just every now and then somebody says, hey, by the way, I'm in the Battle Royal.
John Cena's not.
Oh, Goldust will be in. Goldust will be in because he beat Stardust, and they're in the middle of a feud, and they had a short match, and then he got beat up afterwards in front of his dad, and it was setting up a rematch, and they didn't even bother having that on Raw.
Yeah,
Then he just goes to the guy who loses goes on to the Intercontinental title.
Yes,
so that's WWE wrestling. In 2015. So I'm sure Goldust will be in this thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sort of.
Well,
it makes as much sense as Don.
It makes sense to have him in on if he's going to be on the show at this point. That's why not throw. I mean, Bo Dallas could come back.
Bo Dallas is another
one.
Be
in there,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Bo Dallas, Goldust, and Bo Dallas. Those are the other two. We're good.
I think that's your.
There's your 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever, but as a build, it really hasn't have like you had a 3-hour Raw.
Yes.
And yet you had to, like, cram in people in, like, segments. Like, you have 3 hours and you're going to get everybody on the show, but you can't find a way to time it out so certain segments don't go too long and certain segments. Instead, like, some matches you're cramming in, like the tag team one, like, 4 people in 5 minutes. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, or four teams in, like, 8 people in 5 minutes or whatever the hell it is, plus the sidekicks and shit. So, like... How can you have 3 hours and do that? You have 3 hours. You have 2 women's matches combined 5 minutes. Give Divas a chance.
No. You misheard that.
Oh.
It's give Khalifa's a chance.
Yeah, might as well be.
He was on for 8 minutes.
Yeah, might as well be. He had, yeah. Yeah.
Although, I will say...
Hey, but you know what? Hashtag keep watching.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck off, Vince.
Damien Wisdow was funny. I enjoyed him and his rap.
Yeah.
Well, not enough to, like, you know, buy anything or spend any money, but it was.
But they're just what's going to happen in the, like, they haven't broken
SummerSlam?
Up yet. They haven't broken up yet. They're, you know, we're going to that.
Yeah.
What's going to happen though? Like SummerSlam. Between Miz and Mizdow in this Royal Rumble, is that where one of them wins and they pull the trigger, or is it just like
Sheamus
what's
wins?
The,
Sheamus wins.
What's the fucking point then?
Well, they're gonna feud. I assume that they said the only. I don't have a fucking clue.
Like they're just in this match.
Here's
like there's
thing.
No.
Here's the fucking thing.
Yeah.
This should have happened at the Royal Rumble. and it didn't.
Yeah.
So now this should happen at the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I have zero faith that it will.
What's that? The
that Miz Dow should throw a Miz.
But they're not even. Are they even still a team? Like, I don't even know their status. Are they?
It's well, I looked it up on Facebook. It's complicated.
It's complicated. It fucking is.
Yeah.
But they did think that Niagara commercial was funny enough to show a second time. Thanks.
Oh, fuck.
Thanks. When did WWE can I ask you suck? When was it? Well, no. Although this is related to that.
Oh.
When did the WWE decide that they needed to start scripting comedy? Because you remember they used to have funny segments. Like you know, I mean, Austin was... Austin. Like, Austin and Angle, I mean, you know, singing.
When did they decide they wanted to scripted comedy? But, I mean,
something like Foley in with Vince. That was playing off the characters, but it was not like they said, right. "Hey, let's create a funny segment."
Oh, I know.
It's just that when you had those people together,
no. Here's when they decided to script comedy. There's a well, two reasons. The reason is because a douchebag named Brian Gewirtz was the lead writer.
Yeah,
who thought he was funny.
Yeah,
okay. And the but when did they start?
Yeah.
Doing it. It was right around the time that this phrase was uttered, hey, what are we going to get Booker T and Goldust to do this week?
I was thinking the same thing.
That's when they decided to start scripting comedy.
Like, yeah. It used to be comedy would happen, but it would be kind of more organic to what the characters were and that they were together.
Yeah.
They wouldn't try and make a comedy skit so much.
Exactly. They didn't decide they were trying to be Saturday Night Live.
Whereas when you go and watch, you know...
The problem was Booker T and Goldust was fucking hilarious. No,
and it was great, and then, which was almost the worst thing possible.
Yeah, because then it spawned all this other shit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you just remember Vince, right? Trying to keep it up. You know?
Yeah, my whatever.
My N-word?
Yeah. Like, you all know? This... All of this... Yeah, very... Like, as soon as... And so, I mean, when I'm watching Miz, I'm like, okay, you enjoyed his rap, but whatever. But I'm like... But this is the shit that, to me, just turns me off. Because it's like... You're trying to script comedy. And you're doing it so often. And most of it falls flat. Because...
Oh, yeah, most of it falls flat.
Because they're... Rustlers, they're not actors, they're not comedians, they're not whatever, and your writers aren't that good.
No, they're not at all. But every now and again, like I said, there is someone that can kind of, that works in the system. Like, Dean Ambrose worked in their promo system.
Yes.
Dean Ambrose could cut their scripted promo and make it not seem so scripted.
Yeah, and not so scripted, and he's kind of funny
to it. Yeah. And
Miz unfortunately Dow, for him, because that makes him a mid-card comedy character.
Yes. Miz Dow, though, does their comedy well.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Right? And so that's where I said it was entertaining. Like, Booker T and Goldust did it well.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean they should be doing it.
No, that's that part. I mean, well, that was just... that's the story of Kurt Angle's WWE career.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, he's pretty funny. Let's get him to do comedy. Yeah. No.
Yeah. And then when he got over to a TNA, where, I mean, towards the end of his run there in ECW, he wasn't the comedy character. When he got over to TNA, you thought he wouldn't be. But he pretty quickly felt himself falling back into that. And that was probably partially Russo and partially because that was what he had gotten comfortable with.
Yes. Hey, a free baller, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I, speaking of which.
Which was a fucking hilarious
movie. It was, yeah. I was watching Raw from 1996 on the network.
Yeah,
we're up to just after SummerSlam.
Watching Kurt Angle win the gold medal.
Great. Well, no, what? It, well, yeah, but it, they're talking about right now. I just watched the promo where Jim Ross only has loyalty to good old JR.
Man, great stuff.
And
it was a great promo.
I forgot how great of a promo
it did
was.
It did not work for many reasons, but it wasn't that promo's fault.
No, and it didn't. Part of it was that they didn't follow it up, because like even part of it, he talked about being in the front office.
Yeah,
and his one line was, "You think all these people leaving and coming is an accident? I've been pretty busy." Like, and I remember thinking at the time that was brilliant.
Yeah,
that they just took the whole like NWO and Nash and Hall and Jim Ross is claiming that he's basically responsible for letting him leave and bring him back. And it was just, and then nothing. And then it was like...
Well, I mean, it was something.
And then the next week, Diesel debut. Actually, it was funny because Razor made his debut attacking, I think, Savio Vega. Or no, he said the bad guy, and then he had a brawl with Savio Vega. And yeah. Diesel was never shown. And then Diesel fucking made his debut on Superstars, they said. They even commented to it. Diesel made his debut on Superstars.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's a fucking waste. And then he beats Mark Merrill, the Intercontinental Champion, Kane as Diesel, in his debut match.
And no follow-up? No follow-up.
No.
And of course, that ended up being Kane, which leads to the whole point of it. It's like, Kane at least was obviously had something. But the guy playing Rick Bogner playing Razor Ramon
did not
have anything. So you're saddled with this really poor talents, especially one extremely poor talent and one, you know, who when he got the right gimmick took off.
These Raws from 96 right now, like, fuck, it's like Owen and Davey in a first round Intercontinental title tournament match.
Yeah.
Where they're both tag team partners still in Camp Cornette. And fucking Sean and Owen in a match before the SummerSlam Go Home Show, Go Home Show, great match, and you had Stone Cold Steve Austin against Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
in that where Stone Cold's in the midst of his challenging the Hitmen leading up to that, great stuff. Undertaker, and Mankind with Paul Bearer turning heel. You've got Triple H and Mr. Perfect.
Yeah,
feud never went anywhere, but the build
because he left thing,
because he left. Fantastic. Like, it wasn't perfect. Like, I mean, Kurt Hennig, so I guess it was. But,
well, unfortunately, you're also comparing it to today, where anything will look good.
Well, this is true. But, I mean, just the where things are going, there's a direction, there's a build. You can see why they turn things around, even as early as August 96.
Yeah. There, you know, so it's nothing like today's product.
God, no.
Yeah.
God, no.
All right, so where, out of 10...
Uh-huh.
The Battle Royal. What's your anticipation?
Oh, anticipation?
For the match.
2.
Yeah, I give it a 3. And how would you have booked it differently?
Qualifying matches. People talking about how they want to be in this Battle Royal. Having more than, you know,
I would have really played up the trophy and the winner and the legacy of Andre.
The thing is, you can't.
What they did with Hogan last year was good. Unfortunately, they killed the guy and they killed the trophy.
That's the problem. But
what they did with Hogan last year was the right thing.
Yes, absolutely. And they honestly, they should have involved Hogan again.
I think they should have, definitely.
It's time for, you know, for me to honor my 875,000-pound friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
They should have had Hulk Hogan in it again.
That's very much what I think, yeah. It should have been Hogan. Similar. It should have been people saying, I want to win it. Because I want my name associated with the legend, Andre the Giant, and that means everything to me. And just, that's it. Just,
I don't know who, honestly, I don't know who else, like, who else could have been in it. Even when I look, I guess, like, you could technically say that with Kane and Big Show in it, and Sheamus to be in it, right? Then you've got some of their, call them upper mid card guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ryback too.
Yeah, Ryback. At even this Eric point. Rowan. Yeah. I mean, you call it, but I mean, it just they don't. And you could do a better job building Jack Swagger, right? And
for sure.
Him in the Battle Royal, and like, I mean, he is in the Battle
Royal. I mean, you talk about here, Jack Swagger. Yeah. Give him a couple wins, have him strong in there.
Yeah.
You talk about Haven. Here's another thing you do with him. Bring back Shelton Benjamin because it's an honestly a super easy transition.
Yeah.
From Lesnar to Benjamin, from the idea that the former tag partners went to the same school, both great background. Put him in there, put him with Heyman. Never say a fucking word.
They didn't go to the same school, but that's okay.
Minnesota.
No.
Didn't they?
No.
Oh, okay, I thought they went to the same school, but whatever. I thought they were roommates in whatever.
I didn't think so.
It doesn't matter. Point being,
Seton Hall University for
Charlie. You have him come out there, get his swagger space. You have the two All Americans.
Yeah.
You have the promo be a sit down beforehand between Coulter and Heyman. How much they hate each other and how great their guys are. You rip them apart.
Yeah.
You go to the match. You have Benjamin win that. You transition him into taking on Ziggler. You have him win that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you transition him into taking on Daniel Bryan, have him go 50-50 with him. I guarantee you turn around and put him against Randy Orton next, people will buy it. It's not hard.
Well, maybe if you took some Niagara. team championship match.
Okay, so what's being the build?
On Raw.
Yeah, basically. Like, it felt like the whole build for this thing started here.
Okay, so...
Because I think we were expecting it to be the two teams.
Yes.
And now they decided to go with the...
So what happened on Raw? Okay, they talk about WWE, okay, taking a page from kayfabe commentaries.
Oh, yeah.
On Raw. On Raw, they had a guest booker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Vince Russo returned for a night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As... What the? I'm trying to remember the match. It was the fucking the New Day against the tag champs.
No, we're gonna clap our way.
Yeah,
right to the top.
Yeah,
and you notice I love it when he's in the ring. He's still doing that priest preacher.
Oh, the shaking and testify thing. Yeah.
Testify. He's blowing with his cheeks like he's playing the trumpet or something.
Yeah.
Talk about Big E, who looked fat too, by the way.
Yes, he did.
He looked like they're soft around the belly and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Langston.
Go on. Anyway.
Okay, so non-title. The New Day beats the champions in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, right? Making them number one contenders.
Yeah, and they're like, holy fuck, blah, blah, blah. And then the Usos music hits, like, with everybody still around the ring.
Yeah.
The Usos music hits, and and then it becomes...
Oh, but it was Natty's fault, don't forget that.
That's right, yes. Then it becomes Trinity against Natty.
Yes, right. Trinity wins clean.
And Trinity wins clean.
Rear view.
And then,
that would knock you out. Trust me, you get hit by that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Immediately the music hits.
Like being hit with a frying pan.
Yes. Immediately the music hits, and it's the fucking Matadors out to fight the Usos.
Oh,
like, there's no break, there's no sin, it's just go.
This is what I'm saying. You have a 3-hour show, and yet you have to cram this shit. This should have taken...
Awful.
20 to 30 minutes, you're cramming it into about 7 minutes.
So now you
have
you have all four teams there.
Yeah.
And now it's that, the fucking Matadors got their first win, maybe ever.
Yeah.
Well, no, they fought that fucking 3MB, so they got some wins. But they beat the Usos for no fucking reason other than to be like,
hey, look, they're good, too.
Yeah, we're
50-50 booking.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get over.
Everybody's going to get over when nobody gets over.
Yeah.
And so then the New Day is beating the... Here, follow this. The New Day is beating the tag champs.
Sure.
The Usos bitch is beating the tag champs bitch.
Woman.
And that was for Benoit. But, and Kevin
Ladies,
Sullivan.
Girlfriends, wives, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't call them... That.
Come on. We'll call him what?
You know. Don't.
Okay, we'll call him don't. But the Usos beat the tag champs, then the fucking Matadors beat the Usos, so now everybody's beating everybody.
Yeah.
And nobody's any better than anybody. They all suck equally. Yeah. Let's have a tag match.
It's not one team is being winning, one team's defending the title, constantly defending and pushing everybody back.
No.
And somebody else is putting their way up the ladder and proving that they're definitely the best, next best team, and they're going to face each other. It's not what works. It's not what fucking Manny Pacquiao versus Mayweather is. It's not what any of these things that actually... It's not what Daniel Cormier versus Johnny Bones Jones was. It's not that.
It's not good.
It's instead... It's not that everybody's equally good. You're right when you said it's that
everybody
equally
sucks equally.
And that's the fucking killer.
Yeah, exactly. That's the cocksucking motherfucker. And
The Miz?
Yeah. He used to be in a tag team that was involved in this.
Yes.
This hierarchy of horseshit.
Yes. So how would you have booked it?
I would have done it one-on-one, Usos and...
2-on-2, you mean? Straight tag match.
Tag match, yeah.
Yeah, and build it up as we were the longtime champion, the most dominant team of 2014. We won the belts twice, and you beat it from us, and we want our shot back. We want to prove we're the best. And the other guy's saying, we need this more than you. We've been sitting there for years trying to prove how good we are. We've been getting screwed over. This is our chance to prove that we're players and we're as good as we say we can. We can't lose this to you because we are now the champions. And this title, we need it more.
Yeah.
For our legacy. For our peace of mind. For our family.
Legacy.
For our family. Then you need it.
No, well, they're family.
No, we need it more. We're the Usos. Our family's always been the tag champions. We have to fill up that, like, you know, just...
The problem is their family is only one step above cannibals.
Yeah.
So...
But that's it, though. I mean, it's just we both need the belts. We're the best, and we need... Yeah.
Yeah.
See if you find a...
It's not over.
You know...
Not ever,
Let's get into... fucking Vince McMahon.
Not until your ass is back home in Calgary.
Yeah, that was great. Vince, the whole thing is, if you look at wrestling's been around in its worked format here for like 85 years, something like that.
Something like that.
About 85, 95 years, something like that. Like,
maybe 100.
Yeah, maybe 100. Like, it's almost been a long time.
Yeah.
And of that, it has been presented as entertainment for a very short period. WWE presented it as entertainment from starting about 84. And by 89, people were bored with it.
Yep.
And then it sucked for like 6-7 years.
No.
Yeah, well.
Let's say,
okay, sucked is the wrong word. But interest was gradually declining on a yearly basis for several years.
The mega powers exploding was the peak in 89.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then from there, a little less interest every year.
Yeah, for
many years. And then instead of presenting it as entertainment, you outright said you're entertainment. And you made it an entertainment show. And you made it and that was the change. Was before you were presenting the entertainment, but you weren't saying we're entertainment.
Yes.
You were highlighting the entertainment.
That's right.
Whereas before, then you said we're entertainment, raised the curtain up that way.
Yeah.
And again, it had a very short, but the thing is it had a short shelf life. Again, about 4 or 5 years, and people got bored. Presented as a sport, though, it's worked for 100 years.
Yes. Yes. So let's just have it as bullshit. So that brings us to the tag match. How I would have booked it, as I said, I probably would have done that straight tag match. If you wanted to get all these guys involved, okay, if you did, right, if this is the whole goal, is to put as many guys on the show as possible.
Yeah.
Fine. You know what I would have done? I would have done a gauntlet match. And I would
I
have
hate
had,
those.
I would have had.
They're so tried. And...
Well, they haven't had one in a while. And I would have had the tag champions.
It was one of Vince Russo's favorite things to do.
Yeah. I would have had the tag champions start the gauntlet match.
Yeah.
And retain.
Yeah.
And beat every team.
Yeah.
And really just build them up. Right? And clean.
Yeah.
You know, and create.
I have
some,
no problem with
stars,
that
because
again, you're going to create a star. But yeah. I can tell you the reason they're not going to do that is because
that would create a star.
No, it's because that match then would have to go a certain amount of time. I think these guys are going to have like 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and that gauntlet match would need twice that.
Yeah, because I would include the primetime players in the Ascension.
Yeah,
there would be, you know, the champions and was it 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3.
So
I
get why you're saying that, but that's the problem with it.
Actually,
is the thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I just
yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. Okay.
What is your out of 10?
Oh, anticipation for this?
Yeah.
I would give a 3 for the Rumble and a 2 for this.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I would give a 3 for this only because of the other. Well, you know what. If it's Xavier and Kofi, I mean, I don't know who the New Day is going to be.
Yeah, it could be any of the three.
But, I mean, if it's Xavier and Kofi, then basically everybody in the match, you know, is a pretty good worker.
Yeah, but my problem is you put the Matadors in there, who I know are a good worker.
Yeah.
But are presented as losers and have a shit gimmick.
But that's why...
And I hate... And again, if it was just the teams, and I knew it was going to be the teams, but it's going to be about the people on the outside are going to play into it so much, and I'm just, fuck off.
Yeah, I know. You don't like midgets.
Little people.
Yeah, you don't know where they've been. But I think the...
That brings up our new segment.
Yes.
Are you going to do it? Do you want me to do it? What do you want to do?
Well, this was your idea. So
it was my idea.
You should run with this.
But nobody knows...
We're both
going
to comment.
Nobody knows better than you, the Heenan. So, I mean, maybe we each do one here.
Yeah, I think we would... I thought that was...
We're doing a new segment. If you'll remember in the past, we've had the Triple H Nose Joke of the Week.
Yes.
And we had the Hulk Hogan
Bullshit of the week.
This is our new ongoing segment that we'll be doing for a while. Week. It's called What Bobby Heenan Taught Me.
Week.
And
week.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go? Week. What Bobby Heenan Taught Me.
Okay, you go first.
Did you know Coco Beware's mother's name?
What's that?
Tupper. That's what Bobby Heenan taught me.
Really? Right. What did what Bobby Heenan taught me is that...
You're trying to think of which one to use.
Yes. I think. Fellow, fellow been married 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You realized on our wedding night, if he had killed her, he'd be out now?
That's what Bobby Heenan taught me. Bobby Heenan taught me.
A theme song.
I think it needs a theme. That's what Bobby Heenan taught me. On the wings of our dreams.
All right. Look forward to more. What Bobby Heenan taught
me.
Oh, fantastic.
That was a great new segment.
That's
I look forward to keeping those up.
That's true.
Because the Niagara.
But I would give 3 for this because I think the match itself...
Has more potential.
Has more potential.
Random Battle Royals, like, I can think of 2 good Battle Royals in my life. Like, they're just not very good.
Well, they're a most dangerous match. Arms and legs flailing everywhere.
That's what Gorilla Monsoon taught you.
Yeah. Gorilla Monsoon taught me a lot.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll do him next. Yes.
Gorilla Monsoon taught me where the external occipital protuberance is.
Yeah, top of the head.
A little bad bump on the back of your head.
Yeah. All right, so next match.
You know what Jesse Ventura taught me? You mentioned Coco Beware.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the B stands for?
What is that?
For buckwheat.
Oh.
Yeah. Has a brother named Stymie.
Okay, can we move on to the next match, please?
Where's a derby?
Please?
Intercontinental title ladder match.
Yeah. So what's been the build?
If I had a toilet flushing sound right now, I would make it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, here's the build. R-Truth.
Start with that. He should not be in this. He shouldn't even be in the Battle Royal.
18 years ago, R-Truth was in Milwaukee, and he thought he was in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yes.
So...
And he was a heel at the time, wasn't he? Or maybe he was a face.
I don't remember.
Actually, I think that might have been what led to his heel turn.
No, smoking did, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was a smoker, and then John Morrison beat him up.
But I think this is what made him decide to do the smoking thing. But anyways, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, flying goat.
Yeah, ultra rare flying goat.
Oh, you're getting good cards here, dude.
I know.
Your drop rate's nice and strong. That did not sound good.
It's because of Niagara.
That did not sound right.
Would you like a strong drop rate? Try Niagara.
Oh, the Herc and Jerk.
I use it. And they've got no complaints.
Oh, but you pay them.
Well, that's true.
So anyways, what was...
fuck. So this Intercontinental title horseshit.
Yes.
So R-Truth's gimmick is that he talks like a stereotypical 1970s black man.
Hey.
He doesn't know anybody's name.
Dynamite.
He doesn't know anything. Yeah. And he steals the belt.
Yeah.
He puts it in Damien's sack.
Like Crime Time.
Yes, like Jake.
Mm-hmm.
And And then,
talking about his sack?
Meanwhile, back in the Legion of Doom, they wouldn't be involved in this and quit. Good Japan. But, so while R-Truth is being a dumbass, stereotypical 40 years ago black person.
Yes.
Okay. The Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett, is losing to everyone.
I think he's 0-5 since this angle started on TV.
Yes, they announced it on Raw that he'd lost four matches. And now he's lost a fifth. Yeah. No, well, he had lost four.
And this is
a now he's lost a fifth. I believe a sixth, even, if you count.
So a strong champion, deserving champion.
Yes. So, a combination of the people that have been beating him.
Yes.
And now just random and bodies.
Who just want to steal the belt.
No, not even who want to steal the belt, just people that have nothing else to do.
Well, that's what Luke Harper, I don't think, is
Luke
beat
Harper,
him. He just
no.
stole the belt.
Luke Harper. At one point. Luke Harper, I believe, Stardust.
Stardust, yeah.
Right? Stardust lost to his brother last pay-per-view.
Yeah, like I say.
Give him a fucking shot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, you know, sport. But, so you've got, I don't know how many people now. There's like 10 people in this ladder match.
I like that. Sport, that's a good nickname for me. You can keep calling me that. Go ahead, sport.
I like ironic nicknames. I shouldn't say that. Sumo wrestling is a sport. But I think there's 10 people in this now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? There's only 7? Oh. Jesus Christ, it feels like 50.
I know. It feels like more people than a
like,
Raw.
Like, I watched them, exactly. I was just about to say, I watched them fucking on Raw.
Yeah, fucking on Raw?
Yeah.
You did?
I did.
That was Edge and Lita.
That was the, there was a backbreaker, or I don't know. But...
somebody got humbled?
Yeah, as John Cena calls it, the Acolyte.
Yes, yes.
But I watched all the Intercontinental title fucks were brawling.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this looks like the Battle Royal.
I know.
Like, what the fuck?
I guess it's good they want to get everybody on the show, but somehow having so many multiple-man matches just... And people we haven't seen in forever, just watering the shit down.
Don't
so
get me
much.
Wrong. The match, again, going to be fun.
It's going to be a fun match.
Yeah.
It'll be a spot fest. Like I say, I prefer one-on-one. Like, will it top the Ziggler versus
Harper
match?
Harper, no.
No. From December? I doubt it. Because that was fantastic.
That was awesome.
Because you can have better psychology. You know?
Well, and by better psychology...
When you're one-on-one.
You mean
have psychology.
You mean psychology.
Yeah,
yes.
when you have this many people.
But I mean, I looked... And you got... So Bad News Barrett. So Daniel Bryan's beating him. Dean Ambrose is beating him. Dolph Ziggler's beating him. R-Truth is beating him. And now you got Luke Harper and Stardust, who are just around.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess both technically former Intercontinental Champions. Stardust never under that persona.
Yes, okay.
You know. But so you can't say it. You know, this is actually going to be Stardust WrestleMania debut.
True.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Remember when he was involved in the big Intercontinental storyline with the Big Show?
Yep.
That was actually a great story.
Way better than anything they're doing this year.
Oh, yeah. No! Yeah.
So this is the build.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going
to win. And I'm not even kidding. That's the build. Like, if you time capsule this podcast and you listen to it 50 years later, yes, that's the fucking build.
And if you're not time capsuling this podcast, what's wrong with you?
Why the fuck aren't you?
Leave your children something.
That's right.
So, what were we saying? That's it. So,
do we have a prediction? Oh, yeah, do we have a prediction on a tag match? What do you think, Usos?
We'll do that next week.
Okay.
Anticipation.
Yes.
Out of 10.
Again, I've got to be at a 3 for this.
Well, I'm more like a 6 because I know the match will be fun.
Well, that's why it's a 3 for me.
But as a build, it's a, yeah, as a build, it's a 2 or 3.
I guess they say, yeah.
As rate, a build, it's a 2
or 3. Rate the build, rate my excitement. Yeah, my excitement level in that is
has nothing to do with, it has to do with the people in it. Yeah. Nothing to do with the actual, like if I'm rating the build, I would give it a, like a 2 or 3. But I'm probably a 2. If I'm rating the build, I'd give it a 2.
Yeah.
If I'm rating my excitement for the match, it's a 6. But think about it. This should have been a 10.
Oh, yeah. And I understand there's a potential here for, you know, to bring things full circle, that special guest referee Bret Hart.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Why not?
No.
But do you know why that would be, why they're thinking Bret Hart?
Why?
What's
ladder match?
Oh no!
He invented it. Well, he didn't invent it. He brought it to WWE.
Well, that's true. He did, but no, Shawn Michaels did.
Fuck off!
No, but Bret Hart. Yeah, it's true. Bret Hart never even. They're not even thinking that.
Yeah,
it's that. This is Daniel Bryan's Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund WrestleMania 11 match with Roddy Piper as the special referee.
Yeah, it really is.
So there's your full circle.
There's your full circle
because. Like, Daniel Bryan, like, again, time capsule this in 50 years. Yes, Daniel Bryan is in this match. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Nobody's a star. Nobody's a star.
It's just, it's all stardust.
He's a dust. He's not a star.
Making his debut.
Yeah.
But,
okay, so, so how would you have done it?
Well, guess who wouldn't be in it?
Stardust?
Daniel Bryan.
Well, Daniel Bryan for one thing, for sure.
Because
he would have been in the world title match.
I it's just, I don't know what, how would I have done this? I would have, you know, actually, you know what I would have done? I would have done, as I just mentioned it, but maybe not I quit, but submission rules. Daniel Bryan, or Daniel Bryan, Wade Barrett, and Dean Ambrose one-on-one.
Yeah, something like
in
that.
In a, you know, put some homosexual paraphernalia around and call it a San Francisco street fight. You know, I just do something to make it that it's one-on-one and that it's a different type match. I don't think you need a ladder match. I mean, already this multiple-man ladder match is money in the bank.
I'm gonna read you something. I'm gonna look this up because when what you said right now, while not particularly funny or clever, did remind me of something that made me laugh.
What's that?
I'm gonna find it. So keep going. That's how you would have done it.
I would have done this one-on-one street fight thing again, and that can go back with, we didn't talk about what would you have done in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal a little bit. Well, you said what you would have done, but the other thing that I neglected to mention is I, again, would have made it a 30-man battle royal because I wouldn't have this ancillary need to have a 17-person ladder match.
You know what? If you don't have
an 18-team tag match.
You're right. You could have had a 30-man battle royal and had those matches of...
Yeah.
You could have done it that way.
Singles, right? And that's... Yeah. There you go. Done. You could fit 31 people in there at WrestleMania 31. I mean, I don't know if you want to... keep doing that because eventually, like you said, you get to WrestleMania 40 when my son and I go, and we don't need a 40-man battle royal.
No. When your son-in-law or your son and my godson and I go, what? Wasn't that going to be?
Huh?
I don't want the responsibility, anyways. Fuck you. So here's something. This is an article I found today when other people were working at their job. I was doing this at my job. It's called Weird Things People Throw on the Ice.
You know what?
When you weird crap people throw on the ice at hockey games.
When we baptize my son
and
we go to the church, I'm going to buy you a hat
with
a big green feather in it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you are going to be the godfather.
I'll walk into the church saying, pimpin' ain't easy. That'd be awesome. So this is weird crap people throw on ice. So get this, in Stockholm. This is something people throw on ice during a hockey game.
Okay,
seriously, I'm reading this to you. This one-time Swedish celebration started in 2008 in response to a leaked sex video of former AIK player Jan Huko. who did some very naughty things with a rubber phallus.
Huh.
The horrific bombing of sex toys inspired lovely headlines in the press, such as Swedish hockey fans delay match with dildo downpour. In the local.
That was the name of Pat Patterson's finisher, actually.
The dildo downpour.
Yeah.
The reporter responsible for that article noted, AIK club management was aware of their fans' plans for knocking Huko off his game, but elected not to intervene. We'd also heard mention of it, but we decided that it would only be worse if we went out there and told the fans they're absolutely not allowed to throw dildos on ice, said AIK club head Mats Hedström to the newspaper.
Yes. Well, that's the kind of quote every mother dreams of their son saying.
That to me is the best new thing all time, all my life.
All your life. All
right, so okay. Next match.
What is the next? Okay, let's go Randy Orton and Seth Rollins.
Uh-huh.
Was that match at WrestleMania? Because I feel on Raw we just had it.
I hated this on Raw. I mean, not only they fucked up this whole Randy Orton thing so bad. Like I say, if they had made it so that like 2 months ago he rejoined them, and he spent 2 months secretly undermining them and winking at the camera and the fans waiting for it, and then Dean Ambrose though didn't realize, or Seth Rollins didn't realize it and thought he was his buddy. And he gets in the ring, and for some reason, say Reigns knocks out in the build to WrestleMania Lesnar.
Okay.
And
Reigns Rollins knocks out comes, on the build Rollins to WrestleMania comes to the, Lesnar.
Rollins comes to the ring, cashes in his thing. Lesnar kicks out. In comes Orton. Yeah. RKO's Lesnar. He's thinking, yeah, because you're my buddy. Next thing you know, RKO's his buddy. And then winks at the camera saying, gotcha.
Yep.
You know? Has Lesnar cover him. 1, 2, 3. Briefcase is gone. He's fucked him. Now Rollins is going to want him. And he's going to want in a fight.
So
he's, not in a dildo downpour.
So he's fucked him. And now he wants him.
So it should be reversed. First he's going to want him. Then he's going to fuck him.
Yes. This is backwards booking.
But, yes. Exactly. Story of my life.
I still think...
Backwards booking. That's what you do when you're humbling somebody.
I still think part of this...
But too, I mean, the point being that all of a sudden, like the crowd's going to be like, yes, Orton got over on him and Rollins is going to want to really get him. And the grudge match is on.
Yes.
What you did was you had him hit like the draping DDT on the fucking cement, which should put him out for fucking 6 months.
Yeah.
You had him like it was... He beat the shit out of him Raw.
Mm-hmm.
As the babyface, he was too vicious.
Wow.
He was way too vicious, and he got over on him.
Yeah,
way too much.
That's what I mean. We've already had the match. We've already had the match.
He was too vicious. It was an unlikable babyface then because of that.
It made
Rollins sympathetic.
And I tell you, they were handed something with John Stewart.
Yeah,
right. That they were able to do. But they couldn't, for whatever reason, I don't know, negotiation, they couldn't get the deal done.
You know, he records in New York, he probably couldn't get down there for that weekend or whatever, I don't know.
Who knows? But again, I think they're playing off the fact that his son was a fan, or maybe even John Stewart thought his son was more of a fan than he is.
I don't know.
When he got there, they were just like, no, that's cool, but... the thing is...
I don't know.
What should have happened... I remember my brother-in-law telling me, the producer's brother, we were over there for a dinner at her parents' house, back in the fall, right?
Yeah.
First thing, like, hey, how's it going?
Back in the fall. Isn't that a movie?
Back in the fall, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, starring Pat Patterson. But I was just, was there, like, hey, how's it going, whatever, blah, blah. And the first thing he said to me was, have you seen those Randy Orton vines?
Yes.
Where he's just RKOing everybody.
Yes.
He's like, those are fucking awesome.
Those are hilarious, yeah.
And so, like, when he's saying it,
yeah,
then I know they got something.
They got something, yeah.
And so for when Seth Rollins confronted Jon Stewart on the show,
yes,
what needed to happen was he backed him up against the wall and... Randy Orton snuck up from behind him, tapped him on the shoulder, and RKO'd him on the Daily Show.
Yes, and that turns into a Vine. And you try and make that go viral.
And more than just a Vine.
Yeah.
That turns into, that's your moment that gets on people, you know, driving morning talk shows, talking on the radio, you know.
Instead of having them basically hug and laugh at each other.
Yeah.
Like Rollins and Stewart did on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, with the stupid headlock and shit. Exactly. It just, you know, it's asinine.
How did you interrupt my moment of zen?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I could see him saying that because that's something he would say.
But still.
You know, but it was just, retarded. And there's, you know, from the whole start of this, I'm back, and I'm going to have a meeting with you, and I'm back in the authority.
Well, the thing was they didn't make it obvious enough that he was really setting them up. For those first little while. And then when they finally did, when he winks into the camera...
Too late.
Then it's too late, and B, immediately it's next week that he turns on them. And the way he does it on that Raw.
Yeah.
Where he insults the shit out of them and everybody... And
I'm just kidding.
Like, that killed Rollins. Like, nothing has killed Rollins. Like...
Yeah, Rollins has been relatively Teflon until now.
But all of a sudden, he's an idiot. Like, he's the most, like, naive, stupid. Like, he's, like... If you're main event level heel, and he's still like the number one heel in the company right now, is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bother combining the cards first.
Why is that good?
Yeah, it actually gives you a little more experience points if you combine the cards that are.
No, I usually just.
It's less effort, and I know that's what you're always going for.
See, I like this.
But anyways, no, I mean, if the number one heel has to be seen as dangerous, has to be seen as a threat. Somebody who's so stupid is never a threat.
Yeah.
Like, he's no threat because he's a moron and he's dead. You have killed the character.
Well, he's got, I was just going to say, this is the first time where Seth Rollins, since turning heel, really, has been just... I don't say irrelevant, but not good.
Well, because he's the first time he's being presented as a stupid. Again, has Triple H ever let himself be presented as that dumb? No, Triple H was the cerebral assassin.
The cerebral ass-assin.
The Triple H always was the smartest guy, and you had to outthink him or out have more heart than him because he was dangerous and smart. Even things like the IC title match, when you think about he was IC champion... If he was involved in a storyline that, like he is, like these guys are, he would have turned around and said, "Fuck you! This is stupid. I'm not doing this." As IC champion back in 1997, 1998.
That's true.
You know, like
you cocksucking motherfuckers.
Yes. Yeah, but there's no way Triple H would ever allow himself to be presented the way Rollins was presented.
Oh God, no. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they just killed him.
Interest level for this? 2.
I know it's going to be a really good match. So again, what's the build? Is like a 1.
I don't know that this is
going to be... But the match is higher, so I'm going to give it a 4. Oh, I think it'll be a terrific match.
I think this will be an okay match.
I think it'll be a 3.5 star plus match.
I don't know.
3.5 to 4 stars, I think so.
I think this one is really going to benefit or fall... Based on its position on the card,
I don't know where you go with this.
I think if this follows a spot fest ladder match where people are up,
is Lesnar and Reigns on last? If it is, then where do you put Triple H and Sting and Undertaker and Wyatt?
And Wyatt, exactly.
And those, and then you build everything else around that.
I just think, I don't know. I mean, it can't come after the ladder match. If it comes, if you do the tag match and then the Rollins Orton match,
like, do you need the buffer things? Do you need the?
Well, no. I think that between the Battle Royal, the Divas match, the tag match, I think you're all about the same there. Like, I think that's just, you know, garbage, right?
Well, that's it. You don't. But do you? Yeah. So that you don't need the. So what? Like, what goes on right before Lesnar and Reigns? Because you don't want something that they can't follow either. So, I don't know, man. I really don't know. And we didn't talk about the Bellas against Paige and AJ.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
I just said it.
Oh. Yeah. So my the build, stupid. My anticipation, I won. And
that's not true. My
I would have booked it.
My anticipation for this
pretty
match?
Pretty much like they did.
My anticipation level for this match is a 5.
Oh, okay.
Because I am really looking forward to seeing Levi Stadium concessions. Their washroom facilities.
Yeah, here's a beautiful
state-of-the-art facility.
Yeah.
And some WrestleMania merchandise.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, there's... I'm quite excited about this match, actually. Yeah, yeah. For the other things I get to do.
Yeah. And your prediction in it?
Prediction?
Pain. Anyways. So, this gets us to...
Let's see. The next match is Cena and Rusev.
I have... The build, Rusev beat him generally pretty much clean.
Yeah.
Didn't want to give a rematch.
Oh, no.
Then Cena managed to get a rematch with him in kind of a dumb way. But other than that, like, most of this has been good.
You know what's sad is in 2015, a punch to the dick is relatively clean.
It's relatively clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't cause a submission.
No?
It's not, a punch to the dick. Of course, again, that was the dildo downpour, Pat Patterson's finisher.
Yes, a punch to the dick.
Yeah.
It's it was a takeoff of the heart punch.
Mm-hmm.
It was the heart-on punch.
Mm-hmm.
This one I got, again, I will... this is the one that has been, of the matches we've been talking about thus far, the best.
This has been the best, yeah.
You have... you know what I'll say on Raw? Cena was getting cheered.
Yeah.
There was a Cena.
Yeah.
Cena. Chant.
He was a fiery babyface hero fighting against a dastardly heel.
Yeah.
And fighting for his country, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to win the United States Championship.
Yeah. See, I mean, I wouldn't do that, but he probably is.
I
don't know that I would do much different here. This is the one thing that's kind of worked.
Yeah.
It's probably, I'm at my anticipation level on this, I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with 7. I was going to say 6, but I can say 7.
Yeah.
I'm,
Range though, that.
Yeah. As I said, I mean, this is one where, again, I'm interested in both crowd reaction. Rusev, as I said, has been hanging with the big boys.
Absolutely.
And looking fine. So it's, you know, even though it's not their first match, I still consider this a fresh match.
Oh, it is.
You know,
and their first match was a good match.
It was.
So that helps too.
Yeah.
So, next. Taker and Wyatt?
Taker and Wyatt? I barely know her.
So, what's your what's been the build?
Well, all of a sudden Bray Wyatt started winning matches again.
Yeah, which was a good thing.
And then he started cutting promos like only Wyatt can.
Mm-hmm. Started cutting promos?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been pretty cunning.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You know, like only Bray Wyatt can. And then it slowly and surely has been revealed to be The Undertaker. At, you know, a great segment on Fastlane.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We come out in the casket and challenge The Undertaker. And then the last few weeks he's been come out wherever you are, find me. Then he had the urn on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Brought it to the ring with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden the lights went out and we heard The Undertaker's dong.
Mm-hmm. And whenever Undertaker's dong is there, you're excited.
I am.
Yeah, you get excited at the Undertaker's dong.
It's a downpour of excitement.
A dong downpour?
A dong downpour.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, so it had come, and then all of a sudden there was something on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't really show it.
Yeah, it was something like, I'll be there or something, or,
yeah.
Or it's on, or I don't know exactly what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah, the man will be there or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, then all of a sudden the lights go out. Then all of a sudden when the spotlight comes back and the chair that Dean Ambrose destroyed, the rocking chair, is back.
Yeah, it's in the ring, yeah.
It's in the ring. Lightning bolt hits the ring.
Kind of a cool visual.
And the chair goes on fire, and Undertaker says, "You will rest in peace."
Yeah, and Bray Wyatt laughs because he's ecstatic.
Maniacally, yes, because he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was all right.
You know, that's the Undertaker.
That's the Undertaker being the Undertaker.
And it's Bray Wyatt, the perfect guy for the Undertaker to be the Undertaker with. So my anticipation level in this match is a 9.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to seeing The Undertaker. I think if they keep him off TV until he comes back, that'll be fine, because the anticipation will be that much higher in the stadium, and the pop will be massive. I do have an issue, though, with... I don't like that there's nothing there from The Undertaker's character. Like, and I suppose he is this kind of super mystical character.
Yeah.
But you lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know, now that you've lost,
mm-hmm.
you need to come out and win this one. You need this victory more than any of the streak victories. I need to know how important this is to you. And they haven't given me that. And that's my problem.
Yes, yeah.
That's where I don't give it a 9. I mean, I give it probably, again, a 6 or a 7. Because that's my issue is, okay, you lost. I need to know why the character is back and how important it is for him to rebound from that. And I need to feel it. I need a little bit of humanity from this mystical character to really punch this home. Because last time I saw you, you were heading out with a concussion, looking like you could barely walk. And so that's my problem with it.
The thing is in the last few years, he's gone back to being the mystical taker after the Hunter stuff. Since, you know, Brock and... With Brock and with Punk,
yeah,
you know, again, it was mystical, and so I mean I understand what you're saying.
A little less with Punk, but
yeah. I understand what you're saying. I think the only you want to see how I would book it to bring that in?
That was the only thing I would have some video of him in a graveyard or something explaining. Just how much he needs this victory after his loss.
You know what I would have done? I would have kind of fast-forwarded a little bit earlier to... I would have had a conduit. Like, with Paul... With
that
Paul
would Bearer be fine,
passing away...
It's tougher, but...
I would have seen if I could have... If I had my way, and I'm just fantasy... But we're just fantasy booking this, so I'll go in the way of fantasy with it. And I'll say the conduit that I would have had, the perfect guy for me to go and say, you know what, I'm going to go talk to the Undertaker. I want to know where his head's at, man.
Yeah.
And that's Jake Roberts. Roberts. Sure.
There's no reason you couldn't have done that.
Roberts talking to Bray Wyatt on Raw, having that face-to-face on Raw, and then him going out, finding the Undertaker, and then Jake the Snake being Undertaker's mouthpiece
saying this is why he needs the
bump. And then taking the bump on the go home show where, you know, when he says the Taker's gonna be there.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to he's gonna be there.
And you could still have the whole lightning bolt in the chair. You can still have that stuff.
Yes.
And you know what? I think that would have made much more anticipation for me. And that's much better booking, and then I would have been at a 9 or 10.
Yeah.
That's much better. And I just think that's where they're always seeming to understanding when there's a psychology behind a character's motivation and not knowing when to create it or pull the trigger on it. That's what they lack the most. And it's like we watched NXT, and Alex Riley is, you know, getting
the greatest professional athlete in the world today.
Yeah, pretty much. Kevin Owens is getting in his face.
Yeah,
and he's just trying not to fight him, but finally he snaps. He goes to the back and he tells Regal how badly he wants him.
Yeah,
and his motivation and the psychology behind it, all that stuff is built to the proper point, and they pull the trigger on it.
Yes,
that's all it is. It's
the hottest baby face in the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, like it was great. Yeah. And who would thought I'd say that about Alex Riley? I mean, it was great. Yeah. And it's on NXT.
Well, you know what? Just another reason. Addie's always right.
Summer of A-Rye.
2011?
I think so. I think that's so, when it was.
I told you, I'm always right. I just might be late.
No.
But, yeah, I'm looking for 9 for Taker.
I might be right, except for when I'm left.
Yes. Yeah. And there usually aren't any leftovers.
I want another Dilly Bar.
That's true.
Okay, so what do we got here? What do we got left here? We have 2 matches left, right?
Dilly Bar Downpour. Anyway, Taker 9. We're gonna watch him, and it's gonna be awesome.
When Bray Wyatt's music hits,
yeah,
and then you get that pause.
That's
and you
be
know
great.
The next one's gonna be Undertaker, and you're live.
Yeah, big man.
And if this is his last match, I think you'd have no problem with this going on last. I really don't.
I hope this is his last match.
I really do too.
You know,
go out, get the win, and you know, I mean, I mean.
I just want
I wouldn't
to
say even mind
his
if
last match.
I wouldn't even. Yeah, actually, I would too. But I wouldn't even mind if Wyatt won. But I think Taker wins here.
Ah, yeah.
He had no problem with that either.
No, I mean that's fine. Taker should win and restore the the thing. How great would it be if Undertaker kept wrestling for like 19 more years, and he ended up at 21-21? Like his 70th birthday, it's like. The tiebreaker.
That's marketable. Oh, there you go. Okay so we have 2 matches left. Sting versus Triple H. What's been the build?
Well, if you listen to Raw on Monday,
Sting, you hated that video. I didn't mind it as much as you.
You know what? It's nice, though, that they gave Ole Anderson a job.
Actually, Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler. But did you hear... why his voice was like this? You heard this?
Because he's the black scorpion.
Because he's the black fucking scorpion. He's the black scorpion Sting.
For people who are uninitiated, explain the
like everybody in fucking WWE.
Yeah, obviously. Explain a little bit the black scorpion and why this is so bad.
The black scorpion was a shitty 1991...
I think it was 1990. I'm pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure it was Halloween Havoc 1990, somewhere around that range.
Well, it started, yeah, around there, and it ended at Starrcade.
Because Sid was in there in the world title picture in that time, too, around against Sting. And
Yeah. The Sting was your world heavyweight, your WCW or NWA or whatever it was then, world heavyweight champion. And all of a sudden, this guy in a black hood and a mask... with a distorted voice was coming out saying, "Sting, I'm someone from your past. I want to fight you. And yes. I'm someone from your past.
Somebody you would recognize.
Someone you'd recognize." They made it seem like it was the Ultimate Warrior. Actually.
They did, yeah.
Who's trained together and blah, 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 and then tag team together and shit like that, right? And that's what they were trying to do, is make you think, because it was, they're trying to make you think it was the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Ole Anderson is the voice. It sounded like a lot like the Shockmaster.
Yes.
You know.
I wonder why.
Yeah, exactly. But,
yeah, this distorted voice of that's obviously not him talking.
So then this fucking guy starts doing magic tricks.
Literally.
Yeah, like making didn't he make like a tiger disappear, or a lion or something?
A lion. But I think, yeah, it was a woman was in a cage, and then he pulled off the
and it became a fucking cheetah or a lion. Like that. It was horrible shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it ended up being Ric Flair at the end. Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point here is that the Black Scorpion, a rival and opponent of Sting.
Yeah, yeah.
So the reason his voice was distorted was because they have no idea that the Black Scorpion was a rival of Sting. They're saying that, you know, it's the Black Scorpion version of Sting.
Yeah.
Of which there was none.
There was, of which never fucking existed.
Oh.
That's bad. Now, as a promo.
Okay.
The psychology behind what he was saying, the verbiage.
Made him a heel.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
I didn't think so.
Okay. So let's break down the verbiage of his promo.
The verbiage, please.
I was in a company.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a program.
I was on a program. Called Monday Night Nitro on Thursdays.
Yeah. And try as I might, I could not save WCW from the people in charge. I couldn't save the company.
The egos destroyed the companies, and we couldn't stop it.
We could not. I could not stop it. And just 3 years later, it went out of business.
Hmm. Well, that part you just ignore.
So I've been watching. Well,
no, there was egos right to the end. Bischoff was still around, but yeah, he because they kind of they highlight the NWO.
Sting saying, you know, I've been watching Raw lately.
Yeah.
And I'm giving this company about 3 years before it goes out of business. That was the promo.
I didn't. Okay. I'm not going to say you're wrong.
The great and powerful Sting do not do anything, the WWF is going out of business because your company sucks. It's a shoot. That's the problem.
That makes him a heel. How? Oh my god. Here's the.
Because Hunter's building this up as this is WWF versus WCW.
Which is a mistake because people will cheer WWF.
Yes.
But they won't. Because that, it'll be Sting, but.
Yes. And it just. Just stupid.
Okay, so here's the way it came off to me, though. Is just exactly that. Is I was with a company where the people in charge,
yes,
from the, because of their own egos, ran it into the ground.
Right.
And you're doing the same thing. And I'm going to stop you before you ruin this company.
You ruined it.
People and all these people's lives.
Yes.
And that's the baby face part. And to me, I'm like, okay, I got no problem with that.
The other reason that he's a heel is because baby faces don't lie. And as we all know, WWE going to be around for 6 billion years.
Yeah. Until Raw gets canceled, then they won't be.
It's true. That's true. And you know what? If Sting has anything to do with it.
If the ratings keep up like they are.
What were the ratings on Monday?
Like 2% up from the previous week.
Oh, there you go.
So seasonally, so, very low.
So they're improving.
So now, how would you have booked this?
Well, I'll tell you who wouldn't have cut a promo. His name would have been Sting.
He wouldn't have cut a promo at all?
I don't know. Like, I like the beginning.
Because he didn't. Dolph Ziggler did.
I know.
Pretending to do his voice.
It's Sting. They said it was Sting, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was posing as Sting.
So people are supposed to... So, to probably about half the audience who doesn't know Sting's voice, they thought it was Sting. And the other half, they went, what the fuck?
Well, no, I think you got half, then went, oh, that's Sting, right? Because they don't fucking know.
They don't know.
You had another quarter, probably, that said, why the fuck did they distort Sting's voice?
Yeah.
And then the other quarter went, that's not Sting.
Yeah.
Right? So you fooled most of the people. Mm-hmm. The fact is at the point that they did this all, like, if he was going to cut a promo... He should have cut the promo before the Royal Rumble, let's say.
Yeah.
Right? That's the time to cut the promo. Okay? And then it's like, I'm just here. I'm going to make sure that everything just goes, you know, top flight. Hunter, I got my eye on you.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've been through this before. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let it happen again.
Mm-hmm.
If...
And showtime.
Yeah, you think so when you think about sticking your nose in or trying to mess with some people's lives, when you least suspect it, it's going to be showtime.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All you got to say, right?
Yeah.
And instead, he didn't talk it, which is smart. He didn't cut the promo at the Survivor Series, right?
No, nope. He just showed up. That was a great moment.
Showed up just for his debut, right?
Yeah.
Even the second one wasn't so bad.
Nope.
Right, but then, so now he's built up this mystique, which they've done it like in NWO, WCW,
yes,
where he doesn't talk.
Yeah.
So fine.
Yeah.
Ride it out.
Yeah.
Right? I guess what I'm saying here is commit.
Yes.
Fucking pick a way and go with it.
Yes.
The fact that 3 weeks out of all times, 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
A meaningless. Raw in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
3 weeks out. Right? It's not your go home. You know, it's not your first build. It's just fucking 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
It's further the storyline Raw. Right? You cut this promo. And you're not live. It's a pre-tape with, you know, you're talking into fucking Snake Mountain or whatever to distort your voice.
Yeah. There's a fucking, that is like your most obscure, I had that toy.
Me too.
Did you know that E-Man toy? Nice. Oh, that was awesome. I used to love that. And like, whoa. And, yeah, and Halloween, people would trick-or-treating, you'd speak into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all it was. And it's like, why? Why did you do this? It makes no sense. It does nothing for you. It does nothing to further an angle or, you know, it hurts it. And at this point, you can't afford to have anything hurt because you've got this angle.
Well,
and
one of the things is, yeah, you can't afford to have anything hurt because no angles are really clicking.
Yeah.
But, like, your most your best angle is, like, a 7 out of 10. One of the things is the way he's done this now, that I have to beat you to get rid of you, means that when he beats him, Hunter has to be gone, or what the fuck is the point?
Well, yes.
And that's not going to happen, and that's the problem with what they're doing.
Well, and what you're doing is you're also saying that as long as the authority is around, or as long as Hunter and Stephanie are around, I won't call them the authority.
Yeah.
As long as Hunter and Stephanie are around, okay, the company is going to go out of business at any moment.
Yeah.
And so, like, we all know Hunter and Stephanie aren't going anywhere.
Well, they should get the fuck off TV. Seriously, they're not good for the product.
But they're not.
But they're not going to go away, right? So this it is.
And so you're going to see them now, and
yeah. So ultimately,
promoting,
you need to build the match because what you're building, the storyline, isn't going to have a payoff even after the match, and that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, all I would have done would have been very simple. I would have had Survivor Series, Survivor Series the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I wouldn't have had Sting show up until SummerSlam or Royal Rumble, when he's back, because that's when Triple H is back in power again after he thought he had gotten rid of him.
Yes.
And I just would have had him, and I wouldn't have been sitting there trying to make him your character. I would have been okay with him being their character,
right,
which is the Crow. I would have had the same orchestral music. I would have had him in the rafters. Every time Triple H just shows up, that's the only time you see him.
Yeah.
Every show.
Would he rappel from the ceiling in superhero-like
fashion? He absolutely would not. But he did that in TNA, though. But yeah, I mean, you just have him in the rafters. It doesn't even have to be him. It could be a lookalike. It doesn't even matter.
It could be Bo Dallas.
It's going to be from far away.
Yeah.
Is that who it was? That looks actually probably who it was.
Yeah, the one where Hunter fell?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Bo Dallas.
Yeah, it looked actually like him. But it doesn't matter. I mean, the point being that he's just in the rafters with his, and he's just sitting there, and you just, why is he there?
Yeah.
And Hunter keeps on asking, why are you there? Until Hunter just finally snaps, like 2 weeks out from Mania. He snaps, what the hell do you want? What do you want from me? Why are you there? And Sting just looks at him, looks at the WrestleMania sign with his bat, and points to it from the rafters.
Yeah.
That's all it has to be.
Yeah.
That's what you want? Fine. Fine. I don't know why you want that, but you want me at WrestleMania? I'll kick your ass there.
Yeah.
And that would be it. And then you have the match. You have Sting go over. The next night on Raw,
mm-hmm,
that's when you have him speak.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. It's so
that's
simple.
That's fine, yeah.
And way, way better.
Yeah. Way, way better. And really, that's
much more anticipation.
I mean, remember how great we all commented,
talking about how this is all better than what they're doing, and it is, and I think people would agree with us. I don't think that's for our ego. But one of the points that you're constantly hearing with what we're saying is what we're doing is not complicated.
No.
What we're doing is a very simple booking and obvious booking, but it works. It's classic storytelling within the wrestling universe.
Yes. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
And
speaking of which.
Well, I'm just going to say, though, I liken this back to, and when you look even at their recent history, how great we all commented the first Hunter and Undertaker.
Didn't say a goddamn word.
Didn't say a goddamn word. Undertaker just came out, and then immediately Hunter's music hit, like he was about to be in a WrestleMania tag team title match.
Yep.
And they just stared at each other and mm-hmm. looked up at the Mania sign.
And you knew why he was there. You knew, that's it. That's, yeah. That was great.
That was it.
So okay, Lesnar versus Reigns.
Oh, what's that where we're at now?
That's it. That's the last one.
Oh.
Unless you actually want to talk about the Bella Twins versus AJ.
No.
So Reigns versus Lesnar.
Yes, Reigns versus...
What's been the build?
Well, basically, the WWE has...
By the way, I could say Sting versus Triple H. My anticipation is about a 6. But that's because of Sting and him being in WWE.
Yeah, not, I was going to say...
Again, the build is like a 3 or 4. Probably a 4.
Here's my thing. My anticipation level is a 7.
Yeah.
Okay. In November, my anticipation level was a 7.
Yeah.
Like,
you haven't wrapped it up the way you should have.
Well, it's just like, yeah. My anticipation level for this match is what I feel.
Why that pattern? What's.
I don't know.
Just random.
Okay. My anticipation level for this match is what my anticipation level is going to be for Hunter and Sting.
That was in the Supercard game. I was under
Supercard.
Ask about that pattern he was putting into the cards.
That's all. Yeah.
I should mention.
I'm also quilting. I don't even know why in that pattern.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's it, though, is like this match, what they've done has not increased my anticipation level.
Yeah, the anticipation, everything is, hey, Sting's going to have his first match. We're going to be there. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sting in WWE, making his debut alongside Stardust.
Yeah. It's huge.
It's fucking huge. Okay.
The brothers in paint.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
Stardust Muda.
Yeah.
But
Vampiro.
Vampiro. What about the demon?
Yeah. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
Speaking of
has
the
been
demon.
What's been the build?
Well, WWE has handpicked someone that the fans don't give a fuck about to win the Royal Rumble and to main event WrestleMania to the point where the biggest star in the company's last 20 years, his cousin, The Rock, could not save it.
Got booed.
The current top babyface in the company, Daniel Bryan, tried to put him over and got booed. Couldn't save it. But the World Wrestling Federation...
Entertainment.
No, not it's
really.
Not.
Not really. You're going back to WWF if you want it or not. Until you entertain me.
Is going to do it anyway. And they're going to say, yabba dabba, fuck you. To anybody that has purchased the WWE Network. Anybody that has ever bought a WrestleMania. Anybody that's ever bought a ticket to go see an event. Bought a t-shirt. Bought a video. Has paid any money to create this company to go public. Or has put any cash in their publicly traded coffers. Fuck you. You are useless. Give us your fucking money. We're going to do whatever the fuck we want. That's the build.
That's the build.
To the main event.
To the main event of WrestleMania. So your anticipation?
Oh, a 9. No, my anticipation level of this match is like fucking 3.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I mean, I'm going to see Brock Lesnar hopefully beat the fuck out of somebody. And because the thing is, at WrestleMania, Paul Heyman will not be in the middle of the ring cutting a 15-minute promo.
Yep.
And therefore, you're going to have Roman, my new name, Roman the Cocksucker Reigns. Okay.
Which is one step below Miz, the cocksucking motherfucker.
He's a cocksucking motherfucker, but Roman the Cocksucker Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who cares? Like, watch Raw, and nobody gave up.
I think a lot of that is because of they killed the Rollins character. I really do.
But
like nobody's gonna get that reaction. Like the Rollins character was so killed during that show that I think that hurt any reaction that match.
Yeah,
is
but
get.
No, but
plus
but,
that match has already happened. Here's like, the thing: a billion times.
When you're, yeah, you know. But you're having a fiery comeback.
Yeah.
To your main event babyface at WrestleMania starts his fiery comeback.
Well,
okay, two crickets.
It's true that
the
Raw...
It wasn't that they were booing.
No, that's true.
It wasn't that they were cheering. They were doing nothing.
Three-hour Raws are killing them, too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you put Daniel Bryan in that spot,
yeah,
and you're going to get a reaction. You put John Cena in that spot.
You put Dean Ambrose in that spot.
Dean
would have had a better reaction.
Would have had a better... Like, that's the thing.
That's true. That I cannot... Like, there's always been, when that main event babyface is going to WrestleMania, when he steps through the curtain... There's always that everybody gets on their feet, reacts like, okay, that's the main eventer.
Yeah.
And there isn't that this time. And that said,
the narcissist, Roman Reigns.
That's a good example. But that said, the Heyman promo for me made me want to see it so bad because there's the brilliance behind that promo.
Oh, there was. It was a great promo.
Like the psychology again of the things that he did. He references UFC.
That's
he
the
references
thing.
The
Montreal Screwjob.
Montreal Screwjob. He references the backstage going on. See. So people that are smart to the business and are following it on the internet, internet wrestling community, the IWC.
Yabba dabba, fuck you.
Thank you. But so those people are getting what he's saying. But it wasn't so inside the people that are casual fans that don't go to wrestling websites didn't get what he was saying too. Like it made sense to both sides. That was brilliant.
No, the brilliance of Paul Heyman.
And he put just enough in there to make you think, fuck you,
WWE.
He's not going to cooperate.
Yes.
And that's
the brilliance. That's the brilliance of Paul Heyman, is that Paul Heyman turned it around, and this is not
He took a negative into a positive.
Well,
Think he's going to... I think Brock will stick around, and I just think we're going to see him lose and see a rematch at SummerSlam. But,
I see.
But either
I
way.
The brilliance of Paul Heyman was that he made it about, is Brock Lesnar staying or going? Because he made it to the smart people that, okay, well, if he's leaving, he's going to drop the title. But if he's staying, and he talked about unifying the UFC and WWE championship.
Yeah.
All to cheers, by the way.
Yes.
And, which, again, you go to Mania, and you know, you look at, you know, the 50,000, you're going to have, you know, 35 to 40,000 people cheering Brock.
Probably.
If not more. And he made it so that this is real.
Yeah.
Without coming out and saying it's real.
Exactly. Without going, this isn't an Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler thing.
This is fucking real.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he did it in such a way that you believe, and he did it in such a way with the Montreal Screwjob reference that, you know, if anybody tries that, you're not going to get out of the arena alive.
And you believe it with Brock.
Well, that's the thing. Brock has that rare era of believability.
Yeah.
And so, for that reason, I mean, but in terms of, like, I'm still, I guess, intrigue. Like, we talk about anticipation for the match and my intrigue level.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. My anticipation, you know, if the show went off the air and we were asked to leave, which, who knows how vulgar I'll get, we might be. After, you know, Undertaker and Wyatt and Sting and Hunter.
It's true. I'll just sit there beside the kid and I'll just chant, Cena sucks, and watch him get upset and chant, let's go Cena louder. And but you'll actually be like, you fucking little
Let me tell you about this woman at my work.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to go there, but I won't.
But, so, yeah. No, but I mean, if I don't get to see this match for whatever reason, I'm not, yeah, fine.
My anticipation, because I think Reigns is going to go over, but there's still a little, I don't know, Heyman made me want to see it and want to see WrestleMania. The booking for Roman Reigns, like what you did on Monday was right. What you did on SmackDown is wrong. The week before, what you did is wrong, having him lose to a cradle, you know? So you're like, for every one thing you do right, you do two things wrong.
Yeah.
So the booking has not been good. But the promos the last 2 weeks from Heyman have been brilliant.
They have.
So what's my anticipation? About a 5.
No, okay.
Maybe a 6.
So
in that range.
Okay, so Daniel Bryan's in the match.
It's Brock Lesnar, or a 10.
Yeah, it's Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan. And that's the whole point to me.
Even if it's a 3-way, it's probably an 8.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, and that's the whole thing, is that it... Yeah, you know what? It'd probably be 8 or 9 because you got the Lesnar X factor. You got, are they going to go with their handpicked guy,
or Daniel Bryan going to regain,
or are they going to go with what the crowd wants, right?
Exactly. And the good thing about that would be, even if Reigns didn't get that, he actually would be a bigger star by being put in that situation. Even if he lost,
yes,
he actually would get a rub from that.
Well, and he
more than he will from this, where people will reject. Like I said, yes, it's not that they're going to hate him; it's that they're going to reject him and resent him, and because he's pushed down their throats, and that's what's coming, and that's worse.
Down their throats.
That's what's worse.
The thing is
resenting somebody is worse than hating him.
But the thing is that there's nothing wrong.
Resenting, you don't want to see it all. Hate, you'll pay to see him beat up.
What I hear a lot of people on Twitter and some of your messages I'm saying is what they're getting. Confused. What people generally speaking are getting confused, not everybody, but generally speaking getting confused is that we don't like
a Jimmy.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, he's confused.
What hasn't he been?
Yeah. But it's that we don't like them because they're shoving them down our throats.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with a wrestling company shoving someone down your throat. Okay?
They shoved Goldberg down our throats.
I would like... Well, here's the thing, okay? I would like ice cream shoved down my throat.
Yeah.
I don't want broccoli shoved down my throat. Mm. I'm getting broccoli.
Yeah.
Right? Roman Reigns is broccoli. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, that's a big part.
If you're gonna go with something like Steve Austin was shoved down our throats, if you want to say, you know, because he was there all the time.
When he took off... Fucking in that two-hour show, he was there 75 minutes of the 120 minutes.
Yeah,
he was on that show,
but he was pizza.
Yeah,
like I mean, just keep going. You know,
I never get full of that. Yeah, I never get sick of that. Yeah, no. Exactly.
But it's like now they're show. It's that
Steve Austin is pizza.
Steve Austin is pizza. There's your show title.
Yeah, if you want to change it, I'm okay with that. It was. Who needs a main event anyways?
Yeah.
And there is that.
But it's funny that you did that because I just said that. If we leave before the show, I don't care.
Yeah.
Who needs a main event?
Who needs a main event anyways? It is true, though. I knew it was kind of coming to this.
But I mean, it's
like I say, I didn't even dislike Raw because I don't watch it. So, you know, it wasn't as bad for me.
I just look at it that I
but the booking isn't.
Yeah. Heyman is great, yes. The wrong guy is in the match.
Lesnar's great too.
Yeah, but you're behind.
I just think that I'm part of my anticipation isn't the match. It's the atmosphere of the match. It's the crowd. It's the right? Like, is it going to go on last? Like, my anticipation is less to do with how good a match will it be, and more to do with all these X factors.
Yes, how are they gonna? How do they want to?
How do they book it in order to try and make Reigns the lovable baby face, like they did against Daniel Bryan, and that, you know, kind of worked that one night at the end of the match, but then the next night was still undone again.
I still think...
because they tried too fucking hard.
I still think Brock should retain.
I kind of think so too. If he's sticking around,
I mean, the more that we look at it, and the more that we're almost a year out of the streak being broken.
Yeah.
And it's too soon to beat the guy that broke the streak.
I agree. Now, but like I say, they haven't turned him into the heel from that they could have.
No, but it's still too...
But it is too soon. And part of that is that the Undertaker needs to play that up to make him the heel, too. Now, but would you have him retain, stay with WWE, and have him into... Like, would you be okay if WWE and UFC worked something out where he was with both companies?
Well, I would be okay with it.
I would be okay if it was one match versus Mir, and he destroyed Mir.
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
Right. But the idea of him taking on Cain Velasquez, he'd get killed again.
Well, and exactly, and then
a healthy Brock Lesnar who was 32 years old and had always stood by would have just been beat by Cain because it's a style match.
The thing is with Vince, and
Cain's awesome. That's just that awesome. He always would have been better.
And as soon as you lose one fight.
The fact that it didn't kill his aura here is because he did win that championship. But if he goes and he doesn't, and he won't this time,
yes,
it will really hurt him.
And even if it doesn't hurt him to say you or I or the fans, it's Vince.
Yeah.
And Vince, you know, look at what happened to Batista after Booker beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, it's true. Right?
Booker got the belt.
It's true.
Batista never did again.
Yep. Well, actually, no, he had...
No.
Maybe he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He was going to at Mania, though.
Yeah, and he didn't. Never did again.
Never did again. All right, let's go OUT on this motherfucker.
Okay. Well, we're WeTalkWrestling.com is our website. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. A lot of great new likes and followers to the Facebook page, which we appreciate and love hearing from you. Leave us a comment on our wall,
They
say, right?
You know what? Maybe next week being the go home, we have a whole shitload more questions for this month or sent to us.
Yeah.
At Addie, ADDIE.
At WeTalkWrestling.com, yes.
Yeah, or in there's sometimes on the Facebook or in the comments section or tweet it to us. We got a bunch more questions, and we'll try to get to them next month because there'll be a last show of the month.
You know what I'm going to do?
Where we'd have a chance.
Put them on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. I'm going to then stand back at the back of this room, and I'm going to point at it. I'm going to go, that's the wall, brother.
Mm-hmm. You have to go not that far away. Go much, much farther away, and then recognize that's the wall.
Okay.
Like miles away.
Miles. That's true.
Yeah.
Miles Davis. Okay. What else do we have? At WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher.
Also on WeTalkPodcasts.
Yeah.
And the WeTalkPodcast Facebook, too.
Really?
If you like a little more varied podcast about and blogs about different topics.
What kind of topics?
Music and comics and stuff like that.
That's true.
So anyways.
That's going to do it then for this week. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Cut it off?
Yep.
Cool. I think we're both really good this show. I think that was a good show. I think we were both terrific.
We're on Show Me, right?